الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا رب بلغ بالمصطفى مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف، وللرجال عليهن درجة. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يدخل الجنة من أمتي 70,000 بغير حساب، هم الذين لا يتطيرون ولا يسترقون، وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. We are here, the beginning of the month of Safar. And with regard to Safar, there are certain very important basic fundamental lessons that we have to take and imbibe, bring them into our lives. They are very, very important. Together with that, today we have a walima. Maulana Abdul Rahman, mashallah, his daughter's nikah took place to Maulana Tahir Desai. We are having a walima. So with regard to that also, a few words. Mufti Sahib, ya aage tashrif le aaye. Please, one more. Phir, aap bhi kuch baatein phir kahenge, inshallah. We have Mufti Waseem Saab here, who is from Trinidad. He's the most senior alim in Trinidad, and he is running the Darul Uloom there, and he's the most senior mufti also there. And mashallah, a lot of other deen's work he's doing. He's visiting us here in South Africa for a little while. So with regard to the month of Safar, there are from the days of the Jahiliyyah, the pagan Arabs, and in fact all nations of the world have got a lot of superstition. And that superstition, very, very sadly, is carrying on in the Ummah even after 1400 years of Islam. Our forefathers, grandfathers, all, how many generations, but still superstition hasn't left us. And not only us, even the Arabs still have got a lot of superstition. And one of the major jihads that we have to do is fight the superstition. Bring iman, khalis iman, complete pure iman. All the superstition must be removed. And a person won't be doing a favor to Islam or to Allah Ta'ala if he removes the superstition. He'll be doing himself a great favor if he takes out all the superstition. Superstition darkens a person's life. A person lives in doubt all the time. A person lives in fear, and unwarranted, unknown, not no reality of that fear, but he's living in that fear, he's living in that darkness all the time, he doesn't know what to do, he's got so much doubts, and the superstition, then doubts on other people that we have, and close family people that we have, so we should make a strong effort to remove. And this is an ideal occasion, the month of Safar, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La adwa," that there is no contagious disease. Doctors make us believe that diseases are contagious, and they show the signs, etc. Our Hakim Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali gave a very beautiful example. He said diseases are not contagious. Habits, lifestyle, they are contagious. Like a family has got certain, they like to eat lot of ghee. So it comes into the children also. So that ghee is causing you the other problem. Or whatever else it is. People have got a habit in a family to eat junk food. The daughter gets married, she goes, she takes that habit with her. That's going to cause you the problems, not the disease itself. And Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave such a logical, such a wonderful answer when he was asked about this. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked that a camel has got a certain disease, it contracted it from another camel, so that means it's contagious. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked that the first camel, from where did it contract its disease? Where did the disease come to the first camel? So it was from Allah Ta'ala. We see in a family, especially when it's the flu time, doctors coin up at that time. They say that this disease, this year's flu is the worst flu ever. Every year is the worst flu. And that you must take your precaution and all that. And when that flu does come, 2-3 people in the house get it, 2-3 people don't get it. If it was in its own contagious, everyone should get the flu. But everyone doesn't get it. So it's who Allah wills gets that flu and who Allah does not. So we shouldn't believe in this contagious business. We should take our precautions, but believe it is only from Allah Ta'ala. Whom in an epidemic, it isn't all those people die in that epidemic. How many people get saved who live there, who don't move from that place? So it is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. So لا صفر ولا طيرة. طيرة was one particular practice the Arabs had, that whenever any important thing they wanted to do, they would make a bird fly. There are various interpretations of it. One is, if the bird flies in the right side, you are lucky, you're going to be successful, that work you're going to do, you're going to write an exam, you are going on a safar, it's going to be good for you. And if it flies in the left side, then it's going to be harmful for you, it's going to be bad luck. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam totally negated that. La tiyara. That there is nothing to do with all the superstition. Where has the flying of the bird got control of your success and your failure? The goodness and badness of your life. Today, in our circles, all different communities have got different superstition. In our communities, generally it is, you are driving, a cat crosses in front of you, you're going to meet up with an accident in front. The cat and the running of a cat, where can that control your life and you getting accidents or not accidents? When a mu'min, a muwahid, a person who believes truly, and the tawheed of Allah is not only la ilaha illallah, that we believe in the oneness of Allah. That is not sufficient tawheed. That tawheed, that amount, even a Christian has got. He believes in one God after all. He's got his Trinity, but basically everything he says, God. God is watching you. God does everything. Then he makes shirk afterwards. A Hindu, they also believe in one, Bhagwan. And then they bring in all the idols also, which are intermediaries, who they worship, who will take us towards Allah Ta'ala. The local African people, they also believe in one God. But then they believe in all the ancestors, the ancestral religion, etc. So just La ilaha illallah is not enough. But it is the full Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu. That Allah is totally in all his actions. He has got no partner whatsoever. He has got nobody with him. He has got no son. He has got no daughter. No intermediaries who come in, who are his agents. And they are small gods, etc. Nothing. And then together with that, La Sharika Lahu. That Allah Ta'ala in the execution of all his actions, he needs no partner. And he has got no partner. He doesn't need a farishta. He doesn't need a nabi for hidayat. He doesn't need a wali for hidayat. Allah alone. So that complete tawheed. And when a person gets this, a person who comes out of darkness into light, he knows for himself what he has got now. A person who comes out from ignorance into ilm, that person knows what he has got now. So this we have to get, that all the superstition we must remove. So our community, commonly, about the cat running across the road, the cat saw in the light of the car, a mouse on the other side. So it's running for its rosy. What has that got to do of you making an accident or not having an accident? And then many of us have got this. If the cat is meowing, crying at night, in the morning news going to come, somebody passed away. What has the crying of a cat got to do with the living and dying of a person? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam totally negated that also. They don't have any type of superstition, whether it's birds, whether it is the cats, or whatever type of superstition. And our iman in Islam is so clear. And what a glorious kitab Quran Pak Allah Ta'ala has given us, and how Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam illustrated it to us. Wala safara, and all the superstition of safar, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also blanketly, totally negated all that. Till today, in many of our families who are regarded as pious, religious conscious, and though they are those old ladies particularly, that they say, Safar no maino, apra matira na upar bo bhari. The month of Safar is very heavy on our men folk. And they have to take extra precaution. And from wherever, they have prescribed a sadqa also, of 6 eggs, of half a loaf of bread, and 1 meter of calico. You have to take out this and a few other things, some salt and some sugar. That you have to take this out, otherwise very hard for the man. This is total jahalat. But yet that is portrayed as those old people, they got lot of knowledge of it. And they are very pious people. Total impiety which hovers on the brinks of shirk. And that we regard as piety. Eh? So all types of this wrong beliefs. How many people, there is a wedding in a family, now they are sitting down, the two parties, to decide the date. Then, the learned people, the learned people, they ask for a calendar and see the date. Oh, Safar? No, you can't have. Why? The other people don't know. Safar is an empty month. No barakat in the month of Safar. So you can't have nikah in Safar. A person who breaks this, he has done one of the greatest acts of jihad. Allah reward Maulana Abdul Rahman Sahib and the groom's party that they kept the nikah in the month of Safar. That break this openly, show it, have full conviction. Don't have that 50-50 doubt also in you that maybe it is true, maybe there is no barakat in Safar. Have that full conviction, there is nothing like that. All the superstition of Safar is totally wrong. We must remove it completely. And in fact, if we do have to have a wedding, a nikah, delay it or bring it forward. Make it in the month of Safar. Make it in the month of Muharram. There is absolutely nothing wrong to have your nikah in Muharram. Many people feel that is also totally wrong. That ghami no maino. It's a month of sorrow. And Allah's fazal, my nikah took place on the 10th of Muharram, which is the actual day which they call the day of sorrow, of the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein, radiyallahu ta'ala an. And alhamdulillah, Allah's lot of fazal, I don't see nothing empty of any barakat or anything. So we should try and break this riwaj, and this which is amongst our people. And finally, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wala hamma. With regard to the bet, people had lot of, until today, people take lot of evil omen from the bet. The bird that comes out at night, that flies at night, people regard it as very bad luck. All these things have, our matter 100% is connected with Allah Ta'ala. In fact, we should make an effort to develop what the Quran Sharif calls qalbi saleem. Illa man atallaha biqalbin saleem. A person who will come to Allah on the day of Qiyamah with a pure heart, a healthy heart. From here we learn, and this is the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam himself said in the Quran, Inni saqeem, I am sick. So a heart can be saleem, a healthy good heart, or a heart can be saqeem. It can be a sick heart. And today we know it's common, everyone by the age of 40, he starts going to the cardiologist, check up my heart condition, what my blood pressure is like, he does a lipogram to check up his cholesterol, etc. So let us also have a checkup now, each one for ourselves. I will give the test, and everyone, you don't have to send it to the lab. حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا. Check yourselves. اقرأ كتابك. كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. Read your own report. You yourself are sufficient as a judge on your report. Your report, and be sincere to yourself. There is not you going to show anyone, so you don't have to play tricks and change numbers and that. It is for yourself. So see what your report is. So the first test, the tafsir of Ruh al-Ma'ani, Allama Alusi Rahmatullah Ali, to check whether we have got a qalb as-salim. Alladhi yunfiqu ma'alahu fil bir. That person who spends his money in good causes. He doesn't destroy it in this dunya. He doesn't blow up his money in this world. He invests it in akhirat. Which our Shaykh Damat Barakatum has said so beautifully, when a person spends in the path of Allah, he hasn't spent, he hasn't given. All he has done is transferred his money from one of his own banking accounts to another banking account of his own. When we have spent in the path of Allah, you took from your bank account of dunya and you put it into the bank account of akhirat. And akhirat's bank is much more secure. Not much more, it's totally secure. And the returns from there, which are not haram, no interest, nothing, 100% halal, and not 5%, 3.8%, 2.5%, and it 10%, 10 times more, up to 700. Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. And more than that, Allah increases for whom Allah wants to, according to our sincerity. So a person who's got a good, healthy heart will be spending and depositing in akhirat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked the Sahaba, who likes his inheritor's wealth more than his own wealth? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, none of us are such. Everyone loves his own wealth. Allah made it such. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ. All that Allah has put. So everyone likes his own wealth. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what you leave behind is your inheritance. And what you have sent in front is yours. So if you really love your own wealth and you want it forever, send it in akhirat. Spend it in the path of Allah. Now you have secured it for yourself. What you leave behind, for this you say, Mali, Mali, my wealth. But it isn't yours. It is somebody else's. As soon as your eyes close, immediately it goes out of your possession. Now it becomes the possession of the inheritors. So the first sign of a healthy heart is that الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَعَلَهُ فِي الْبِرِ. The second one is الَّذِي يُرْشِدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. Who guides his children towards the truth, towards deen, towards akhirat, their namazes, etc. That he's concerned about. Not about, he'll see to their dunya, it's not haram and it's necessary to put up your children, to give them their necessary education. But so much of dunya's education, university education, and today, one time, when I was in Germiston, one person came to my ustad, Hafiz Muhammad Sallu Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali. It was the days of apartheid when universities were not open to non-whites. If you wanted tertiary education, you had to go overseas. So he came and he said that, I want to send my daughter, a young girl, 17, 18-year-old girl, to the UK to become a doctor. And I'm sending a young girl on her own. And the environment of UK, the freedom that is in free, and she's going to be on her own, living on her own flat, etc. Please make dua, Allah must protect her. Hafiz Sahab was Allah wala. He pondered for a second or 2 seconds, little while, and then he said, what you are telling me, that you are sending your daughter in the rain, I must make dua, she mustn't get wet. If she goes in the rain, she has to get wet. That environment, one very pious doctor friend of ours, went to a university in South Africa to enroll his son. And when he went there, he said it was like I'm in Europe or somewhere. That freedom. And he says it's impossible. One family person, father is an alim, send him to university. The boy didn't stay 2 months. He said, Daddy, that's not for us. We can't stay there. That environment is such. So if we putting our children into such environment, and then we want good results. So the second tafsir of a good heart is that you guide your children towards deen. Dunya's education is zarurat. Zarurat means necessity. And everyone's necessity is different. What your necessity is. Necessity as an individual, as a family, as a community. We have got all our necessity. The community needs doctors, the community needs lawyers, but that's a necessity. You don't just increase that all the time. And the law of necessity is az-zaruratu yuqaddaru biqadri az-zarura. A necessity is measured to the extent of its necessity. If your tire takes 2.5 bars, and you go and put 10 bars in there, it will blow in your face, and you'll suffer the consequences. So whatever you take, you need to eat. But if you overeat, you're going to destroy yourself. To go to the toilet is a necessity, but you can sit more than that. In some countries, toilets are called restrooms. And a person who takes the literal meaning, that I'm going there to rest. No, there you just go for your necessity. You don't sit there all the time. So involvement in dunya's education, our income, business, earning, is also a necessity. Don't overdo it. How much is necessary for you? Everyone's necessity is different. Get so much. Our object is akhirat. That is what we have to prepare. So that is the second tafsir, alladhi yurshidu banihi ila al-haq. The third tafsir, alladhi la yakunu fi qalbihi al-aqaid al-batila. That in his heart there are no false beliefs. Today we should also, especially at universities, a very, very concerted and a well-planned efforts are made of the Shias, of the Qadianis, of the Salafis, and their breeding ground is the university, the schools, colleges. So we don't know what is happening. Some friends of ours who come here, the children are at university, and they don't know that the children are becoming Shias there. Children are becoming Salafis there. So that's all we have to be concerned. So those wrong beliefs, then commonly for the common man, the superstition which is carrying on, what all the superstition that is coming. So all that, the heart must be clear of that. The fourth tafsir, الذي لا يكون في قلبه الشهوات التي تؤدي إلى النار. غلبة الشهوة التي تؤدي إلى النار. There mustn't be an excessive state of lust in the heart that takes a person to haram. So what a beautiful mu'tadil, balanced tafsir. You have to have desire. The tafsir is not that you don't have any desire. Then your wife also won't want you anymore. You must have desire, but extra desire that takes you to haram, that is a qalbi saneem. And the last one, alladhi la yakunu fi qalbihi siwa Allah, that only Allah is in his heart. And that is the effort we should make, and we should make dua that before we leave this world, Allah makes our heart such that besides Allah, there is nothing in the heart. The superstition, false beliefs, lust, all that is totally out. But besides that also, that not even love of my wife, fulfill her rights. At the end, at the beginning, you have your full love. But try and work that such a state that the love, our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum says, Alladhina amanu ashaddu hubban lillah. That those who have love for Allah, their love is ashad, from which it is deduced clearly that shadeed love of dunya is jais. Shadeed love, great intense love of your wife, your business, your car, your home. But Allah's love must be ashad, which mathematically translates into 49% love for your wife, your business, your house is permissible. May Allah's love must be 51. But don't stay there then in the primary class. Move up until you reach the time when Allah's love is above everything. And now only Allah ta'ala, that is a condition of a mubtadi, a starter. And a muntahi, the person at the end, will fulfill rights of everyone. But in his heart there will be nobody besides Allah Ta'ala. Koi mujhse poochhe, main kya mangta hoon? Somebody asks me, what am I asking? Main khuda se khuda mangta hoon. From Allah, I'm asking Allah, that is what I want. Tu ho jai mera, main ho jau tera, uske siwa aur kuch nahi mangta hoon. All I want is you, O Allah. That you become mine, you make me yours. Kya hai? Ata kar de mujhko mohabbat, teri mohabbat. Main uske siwa aur kuch nahi mangta hoon. You only want the love of Allah Ta'ala. Hey naraazgi jiski dozakh se barkar, usi zaat ki bas rida mangta hoon. that I only want, O Allah, that your displeasure is worse than the fire of Jahannam. We fear the fire of Jahannam, but we don't fear the displeasure of Allah. More better than Jannat is the pleasure of Allah. If Allah's pleasure, you get Allah's pleasure now in this dunya. You are in your Jannat, which is superior than that Jannat in this dunya if you get Allah's pleasure. And if Allah is displeased with a person, he's in Jahannam now. That Jahannam is not as bad as the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. He naraazgi jiski dozakh se barkar, usi dhat ki bas rida maangta hu. Asal mujhe dunya ki khahish nahi, main bakhshish baroze jaza maangta hu. I don't want the things of this dunya, I want forgiveness on the day of Akhirah. That is what a person must strive for, that Allah comes fully into his heart, that there is nothing but Allah Ta'ala. So that all the superstition must be totally out. In the other hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ, there will be people entering Jannat, مِنْ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا مِنْ أُمَّتِي, 70,000 people of my ummah. And 70,000 is just لِتَكْثِير, لَيْسَ لِتَحْدِيد. It doesn't mean only 70,000. It shows a big number. Like it is common in we talk, I told you 100 times. I told you 1,000. It doesn't mean I told you exactly 100 times. It means I told you many times. So it shows plentiness. So 70 was a number used by the Arabs to show abundance, great amount. In other words, a huge amount of my ummah is going to enter Jannat بِغَيْرِ حِسَاب, without any hisab kitab. Direct, straight entry into Jannat. No, of this ummah, there are 7 people who are mentioned in one hadith, 7 types of people that will get placed under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. There are also those who are going direct to Jannat. Besides that, many others have been mentioned also. The Tahajjud Guzar, for example, these people here who are described in this hadith, all of these people were those people that arrangement has been made for them for VIP on the airport by Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Like in this world, if for any person, they make VIP arrangements at the airport, as you get off the aircraft, there is somebody waiting with your name written on a board. You tell, I'm that person, you go to him, they take you straight to the VIP lounge, make you sit there, there are all types of comforts, aircon, juice, cold drinks, fruit, everything is there, sit down comfortably. Give us your passport, give us your baggage tags. They go and do your immigration, they go and get your baggage, they do the customs, they come and give it to you, yes, everything ready, there's your VIP car ready, if you want to, you may go now. Like that, wallah, many, many people, much more than 70,000 on the day of Qiyamah, as we come from our qabr, that is our aeroplane to fly to Akhirat. And as we come out from there, announcements will be made. Where are these people? Where are those people? All of you, no immigration for you. No custom for you. You don't even have to give your passport. You go straight in the VIP lounge. And that will be under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, where there will be such a cool breeze blowing, and there will be all types of food, and there you sit there, if you want to see what's happening there, you can see. If you want to, go straight to Jannat. Jannat is open for you. So that is what Allah Ta'ala has prepared for, and each one of us, there are many groups in this, that are going to get VIP treatment. We should make effort that at least we fit ourselves in one of those groups. Otherwise, the hisab kitab is no small thing. One king who was on his dying bed, he called all his family people and he told him, I'm dying. He told them, I'm dying now. And will you people listen to me what I'm going to say? They said, our whole life we're listening. Whatever you told us, why won't we listen now? We listen. What is it? He says, I want you to divide my kingdom in 2 parts, half, half. They said, we'll do that. What must we do with it? Half of it, you must divide amongst yourselves. They say, we're very happy with that. That half also is so much more than enough for us. The other half, what must we do? He said, make an announcement in my kingdom. Whoever is prepared to sleep with me in the qabr the first night, he will get the other half. People are so frightened, they don't want to think about mort also. We think if we think about Malakul Maut, we think about Maut will come to us. Maut can't come before its time, but we are so frightened. People who get their plots, their earths near the Qabristan, they sell it out. They don't want to stay near the Qabristan. They are so frightened for that. To go and sleep the first night in the Qabr. But one person who was an extremely poor person, who only had a sickle and a string. That was his only possession in his life. He used to cut grass, fasten it with his string, come and sell it in the town. But that he should get money for two rotis, eat and have his fill, drink water, and wherever he gets place, he slept. So he said, I can become a king overnight. I'll just go and sleep one night, and I'll get half the kingdom. So he said, I'm ready. They say, it's not an easy job. He said, no problem, I'll do it. How much I sleep in the Qabristan as it is. I got nowhere to sleep. I go and sleep there in the Qabristan. I'll go and sleep there one night. So anyway, the king died. They buried him with the king. There is just a story, but the lesson is important to learn. When the Farishtas Munkar Nakir came, they said, oh, two customers here. Usually we only get one customer. So they made mashura with who should we start. They say the dead person can't go anywhere. He'll stay here. But this living one will escape. Start with him first. And the famous questions that what did you have, where did you earn it, where did you spend it, that five questions on the day of Qiyamah, you won't be able to move until you haven't answered those five questions. Three questions of the Qabr, etc. So they asked him, what did you have in this world? Every person's habit is he can be the richest man. He compares himself to more rich. He said, I got nothing, man. Those are the Lanis, they the big shots. They got everything. What I got? I got nothing. So he also said, I had nothing. And he was a very poor. They say, no, think, you must have had something. Then he realized, all I had was my sickle and my string, which he didn't even think as possessions of his. But that was, so they said, okay, leave the string one side, we'll see about that afterwards. The sickle has got two parts, the handle and the blade. Leave the blade one side. Just the handle, let's start with that. And they interrogated him so intensely, where did you get this handle? Now he doesn't remember, he's got it for 30, 40 years. Then he remembered one day he was walking through some jungle, he broke a branch and he made it. Whose land was that? Did you have permission to take it from there? And then you made it with whatever primitive types of tools. What were those tools? Where did you get them from? So detailed, one great imam. Somebody saw him in that person's dream, asked him, how did it go? He says, by Allah, the questioning is so intense, fine points are taken out. He says, you sweat and you drown in your sweat in that questioning. And after that, Allah lets you go. Okay, go. When you are convinced, I'm destroyed. In every small, Allah questions you so much. For example, an alim will be asked that what you learned, how did you make amal in it? A jahil will be asked, why didn't you become an alim? You should have acquired knowledge. Why didn't you acquire knowledge? And those who acquired knowledge, Allahu Akbar. And I usually say we are such that we don't read Bismillah before eating. We don't read the dua after eating. Our duas of safar we don't read. When we sleep at night, we don't read duas. How much? And we want to, a person, he wants to learn Quran Sharif, Nazara. Then he wants to become Hafiz, then he wants to become Alim, then he wants to become a Mufti, then he wants to become a Qari, then he wants to do Takhassus. We want to increase our knowledge. There it won't be asked that how much did you increase, how much did you make Amal on the knowledge that you had. The knowledge that we have got, once we were in Jamaat, we had an Alim from Bengal with us. He was a very pious person. He said, my biggest worry on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask me that the knowledge you acquired, how much did you make amal? And if we have to check up, forget an alim. We just ordinary people. What knowledge we got, we're not even making 1% amal of that knowledge that we have got. And we will be asked about, and you're going to be asked to the fine details. Today you have, no more a petty robbery crime, something major also, you say it's a waste of time going to report to the police station. You stand in the queue for so long, they treat you as though you the criminal. The way they question you and ask you questions as though you the, rather I don't. What will be the question in the Qabr? So this person was questioned so much about the handle and it wasn't finished and it was morning already. That's why Fajr Azan started. They dug up the grave to take him out. They had red carpet treatment. When he came out, he said, Nay Reba, I don't need this. I can't answer for one handle and for half of the kingdom. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that the poor people will be 500 of Akhirat's years. They will be going before the rich people to Jannah. Those rich people who were pious, who did lot of khairat, charity, but they will be busy in accounting. And those poor people who didn't have, they will be gone to Jannah. So this is what we have to worry about. So each one of us, we should try and fit ourselves in one of those groups where we can enter Jannah without hisab kitab. In this hadith, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Humul ladina la yastarqoon." They are those people who don't make ta'weez, ruqiyah. They don't take ta'weez from anyone, they don't make ta'weez. There are two types of ta'weez. One which is jais and permissible, which is done from ayats of the Quran, etc. That is permissible. Even to take money, if the person who's making ta'weez, he charges money, that is also permissible. But the highest stage is that you don't even do that. That also you avoid. How many of people we see, especially for the children, so many ta'weezes, there's no more place for ta'weez left. They are filled up with all ta'weezes. And our trust on, and in fact on ta'weez, the people say openly, your yaqeen must be on ta'weez. And that is haram. Your yaqeen must be on Allah. Medicine don't have yaqeen. Your shop don't have yaqeen. Allah is the one who will give you profit. Allah is the one who will give you shifa. That is a sabab. It's sunnah to tawakkul does not mean you give up all the means. The proper shar'i tawakkul is you use asbab. But your yaqeen is not on the asbab. Your yaqeen is on Allah Ta'ala. And there is a very fine line. It's not easy just to distinguish it. But this is what a person has to work his whole life. That before more complete tawheed and tawakkul comes in a person. So these ta'weezes, then there are so many people with so many rings on their fingers, with so many bangles on their hands, men wearing all types of bangles, stones in the pocket. The Shias use a stone to where they make sajda. The Hindus worship the stones. Pagan Arabs used to worship stones, idols. How many people keep stones that the stone is a lucky? For luck I keep it. It saves me from problems. This is all totally haram, all these things. So to be saved from all these things totally. And if the jais, that is permissible. But higher level is that you don't even get involved. Your trust is only on Allah Ta'ala. So, هُمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ. And all types of superstition. All types of superstition. Whether it's of birds, of cats, of the owls, of anything. There must be no superstition in our lives whatsoever. Not in the mind, not in the heart. Allah alone. Wahdahu la sharik. Allah is the doer of everything. Totally on His own. And the last, wahum ala rabbihim yatawakkalun. And the total reliance, dependence is only on Allah Ta'ala. So that is very important that from this month of Safar, make an effort and see if we come out of this darkness, what light will come. People who go to these amils, and majority of them are frauds. Not all of them, the majority of them are frauds. And they play on the sentiments of the people. And what tricks they have got. Funny tricks they have got. They find out in different ways. You go into their office, one particular person, not in our country, he has a reception, his wife is the receptionist, you go there, then she will receive you. What's your problem? The husband is listening at the back. After he listens everything, he goes like for a long walk, and then he comes from the front door, and he meets you, by your name he greets you. Oh, this person knows me already. You got this problem? Oh, you are finished, you are taken away. That he knows all my problems already. He was listening all the time, that's it. And what funny tricks they do. It's unbelievable. They plant things in your houses and like magic. What is magic? A trick on the eyes. That the magician is very fast with his actions. And the ordinary person doesn't catch up. They bring those things with them and they plant and then they take it out. See what they take him out in your house. See what the people are planting in your house. From your stomach they take out things. It's all a trick. They come with those things. And the way they take it out, and you see these things happening in front, and good, good people. What more can I say? Some ustads of our madrasa, one Amil who had come in our country, I hope he's no more here, and he was a graduate of a Darul Uloom, who we will say is a Maulana. But from what his beliefs and his teachings were, you can't even call him a Muslim. They, many good, good people, and nobody gets saved. You can be a Sufi, you can be a Tablighi, you can be a Maulvi, all get involved in these things. Yeah, how many times we give bayan? Allah alone does. Allah is the doer. And immediately after the bayan, gone to Amil sir, that I got this problem. When Allah is your doer, then why don't you do everything from Allah Ta'ala? Yeah, we will give a bayan. The Jews control the dollar. They take the price up when they want to, they bring it down. Oil price, which government they want in a country, they bring that government. Which country, government they want to topple. If everything is in the hands of the Jews, then ask the person the simple meaning of La ilaha illallah. That isn't Allah the doer. Now we have vested all that into the Jews. It's a different thing that we put it as far as sabab, outward sabab is concerned. But that this, that the way we speak and we have got that yaqeen, that is totally not permissible. So this, our few alims who went to this person and he told them, na'uzubillah, na'uzubillah, Quran Sharif is very weak. It hasn't got that power as what the mantar, reading the wazifa of the Hindus, Jogi Jipal. And he prescribed them to read that. And he told them that this jadu, which is made on you, is very old jadu. And the Quran, na'uzubillah, is too weak to remove it. You have to go to the Sangoma to take it out. Now, a person who believes in La ilaha illallah, where does Sangoma fit in that equation? Where does all these other things fit? Our Shaykh made those people read Kalima, those alims made them read Kalima, you went to this person here. That, what is he teaching? A child can understand that this is not, but all our minds become blind, blocked completely. Our love of dunya and this, it blocks our mind and we become so dull and so stupid. In other things we are, وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Dunya's things they know. Teri akal dunya mein kya kar gayi? What and what hasn't your brain done in dunya? Deen mein wo kaha mar gayi. But when it comes to the matters of deen, your mind is dead. It doesn't work. These simple things of tawheed, la ilaha illallah, our minds don't work. So it's very, very important. And the main crux of the whole thing is the time of maut. Which Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to give a very beautiful example. You have a parrot who you have trained very well. He says salam, etc., gives azan, makes zikr, and your visitors come and you tell the parrot to read, you feel so happy. In fact, our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum said, one old lady had a parrot, and the parrot used to always make this, it learned it wherever, Allah kare, ye buriya mar jave. May Allah make that this old lady dies. So he said, what a parrot, who giving me badwa morning to night. So she went and buy another parrot. And she gave it to the Imam Sahib that teach it some good words. Imam Sahib thought there is an old pious lady, whole day she must be making dua. Let me teach this parrot to say Ameen. So he taught the parrot Ameen. So the first parrot used to make dua, Allah kare ye buriya mar jaye. And the second parrot should say Ameen. Or even worse, it has gone now. She bought a third parrot and she went and gave it to Mufti Sahib. That Mufti Sahib will teach it. So he also thought this very old lady, very pious lady, and he taught the parrot to say Thumma Ameen. So the first parrot used to say, may this old lady die. Second parrot, Ameen. Third parrot, Thumma Ameen. So anyway, the parrot, whatever you teach it, it will say it and it will say it beautifully. But the day that parrot comes out of the cage as in the claws of the dog or the cat, it will forget all its azan and dhikr and all. Its original words which are inside, which is recorded, the original recording, that will come out. Teh, teh, teh. So just like that, when Malakul Maut will appear, what we know on our tongue, what is in our brain, that will go blank. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. What is in the heart is going to come out. Khuda na khasta, at that time, if we got all these other things in our heart, that is, and it's on record. in kitabs that at that time a person, he was doing his business deals. In the old days, for example, do amrood le lo ek rupiye mein, at that time he was saying that. People telling him, make tawbah, read kalima, but only that. I want 15% discount. I won't accept less than 10%. What you are giving me as a kickback, whatever was in your mind and on your heart all the time, that is going to come out. You have so much of your sports and your cricket and your whatever else it is, whatever is in your heart is going to come. Your fashion, your brand names, the latest things, whatever is in your heart all the time. If Allah is not in your heart, then whatever else is in the heart is going to come out. So it's not a simple matter. The matter of Iman is, and dunya's life is how much? 60, 70 years. That is Abadul Abad, forever and ever. And the greatest criteria there is Iman. A person who dies with Iman, it comes in the hadith to this extent. One person says he was a good man, he becomes Jannati. But criteria is Iman. If a person hasn't got Iman, million people can say he was a good man. It's not going to help you. You have got Iman and you could have been the greatest sinner in the world. Then your son, Allah made him pious. Your grandson, your great-grandson, according to his status, Allah will take you up there. وَالْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ Allah will join you up. But the criteria is Iman. And Iman is not today, we are selling our Iman, we don't realize. Left, right and center we are selling our Iman. On these superstitious things, on how many other things. And in this environment now, we all feel quite alright. But when we in another environment, we argue about it. That no, this is right also. Jadu, what all its evils and the overplay. And today, Jadu also, we don't pay attention in our business. Business not going right, we say somebody made jadu. The best scapegoat in the world is jadu. Any problem, you're having extramarital affairs, you're having doing wrong things, your marriage, you're having problems, your wife is cross, she's always fighting with you, somebody made jadu, they can't see our happiness. It's no jadu, you yourself, your wrong actions which are. And you're the TV, that is the biggest jadu. The TV is a total destroyer. But how we make tahajjud also, but we watching TV also. We are pious, we going 40 days jamaat with pabandi, no matter what happens, my 40 days I must do. My chilla in Ramzan by my sheikh, I must go. But our TV we not giving up. Videos and the filth and dirt on the internet. And like that, we got khanka topi on the head. We are pious people also. But in the privacy today, the enemy, you won't go to a nightclub. They brought the nightclub right into your bedroom. You won't go to a casino, but they brought the casino right into your room. And how many good, what we call good people are involved? We get letters, we get complaints regularly, and not of other people. They don't come to us. People of our circles come to us. And what our own people are doing, where are we? So we have, this is, and remember our mort. Today we only thinking of dunya, enjoyment of dunya. Nice car, nice house, food, travel, enjoyment. That we are thinking. But the most, and mort can come at any time. What a beautiful poem our Sheikh Damat Barakatuh said, qada aake, qada mort. Qada aake, bahosh ko behosh kar gaye. A person who was in his full senses. One friend of ours, round about the age of 40, lot of business deals, buildings, how many buildings were carrying on, import, export, trade, big, big things he was doing. He slept in a hotel room, never to wake up again. Qaza aake bahosh ko behosh kar gaye, hangama hayat ko khamosh kar gaye. All these big talks, I'm going to do this, I'm going there, do this booking, do that, do this. Suddenly, he can't even lift a finger. He can't make one signature. He can't move his lips also. He's just lying there. In another poem, Hazrat Damat Barakatum says, Qabar mein daba ke sab chal diye. They put you into the qabar, and then all went away. And not only in the qabar, first they put that, those planks or whatever else. They sealed you up. And little gaps in that planks, they made sure, bring some trees and that, make some mud. That also, there's no oxygen also must go to you. That in case you wake up, make sure that you just stay there. And after that, heaps of sand, not level with the ground, over that limit also. The qabar mein daba ke sab chal diye, na salam, na dua. Just now, two, three hours ago, they said, Dada, Assalamu alaikum, make dua for us. Now, no salam, no dua. All work. Thori der, dunya se dunya, kya se kya hogi. In a little while, how is the world? My own little children, my grandchildren, my friends, my brothers, my father. How do you were worried of me? You were in a hospital. You were in the ICU. The doctors were becoming all excited. Bring this machine, put oxygen, give him this medicine, give him that injection. Your ruh is gone out. Now everyone, finish. You no more. All 5-10 nurses around you, 2-3 doctors around you. Nobody is paying attention. Take him to mortuary now. Now those ordinary people will take you to the mortuary, put him in the deep freeze there. Now you got no value. And that is coming to us. There now is your iman and your akhirat, what you prepared for. That is what a person. But we don't keep that in mind. That at any time, what, as we are sitting now, I can die now. Anyone can die now. We go on the road, our friend Maulana Ayub Kachwi, the Ahmed Barakatum says, the minute you sit in your car, you should think your one leg is in the qabr. We know what is the road situation, and especially this time of the year. We say the roads are more quiet, but more accidents. The most accidents of the whole year take place in this time of the year. So how dangerous, any time, heart attack, stroke, anything can happen to any person. One friend of ours, a doctor told him that you need a bypass immediately, by tonight, latest by tomorrow morning you must come. Well, he's a family member, he took other opinions, he found out. Then this doctor passed away and he's still living, that friend is still living. And the doctor who told him you're going to die, he went away. And very pious doctor, very good doctor and a very pious man, but he passed away. So mort, in whose hands is it? Only in Allah. So we should prepare for that. Today we have got this nikah also, and with regard to the nikah, there are great lessons for all of us to learn also. Whether we are married for 20, 30, 40 years, or we are newlyweds. But there are great lessons we did not learn. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a person was not allowed to open a business until he does not pass a test first. Just like today, you can't drive a car on a public road until you go for your driving license. First your theory and then your practical, you have to pass. Like that, it is also very necessary that we learn about nikah. That what a big responsibility is coming in my hands. My wife is coming in my hands. It's somebody's daughter. She's giving her whole life. They are taking out their heart from their bosom and they are presenting it to you. Who they cherished and who they loved their whole life. And they did everything and fulfilled every wish of that beloved daughters of theirs. Today they are giving her over. In 1 second, just per you, she said, I'm prepared to get married. Are you ready to marry this person? Yes. The 3-letter word, yes. Are you marrying this girl? Yes. Now that girl is gone into that person's hand. What a responsibility. And we're going to, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun ar-ra'iyyatihi. Every one of you is a shepherd and you're going to be answerable for your flock and your herd which is under you. Every man will answer for his wife. Every wife will answer for her husband. Did you make his khidmat, etc.? So it's a very great responsibility. And without this being correct, life can't be correct. But today we don't think of it. We don't learn the laws. And so much so, at home the family says, she has Allah give her jazah khair, marriage classes for women. That what the rights of the man are. She teaches them. She says that the Darul Uloom, even for the ulama, alim students, you have to have marriage classes. Because what we think, things we hear of young alims, what things they do. And how they treat their wives. It looks like they didn't read one kitab also. As if there wasn't kitabun nikah in any of the hadith kitabs. As if the ayats of Quran of nikah don't appear in the Quran for them. They were blind or they were deaf when those sabaks happened. So it appears everyone needs this. This cause in this field is very necessary for every husband, for every wife. It's not just a wife, our Indian mentality that she's a slave. When we marry a girl, that it is a slave that has come. She must cook, she must look after the house, she must look after the children, she must come to the business, she must cook for the whole day in advance. for the lunch, everything. She must do the banking, she must make the tea, everything she must do. And what she gets in return? Swears. And what she gets? Unappreciativeness. Not a word of appreciation for what she does. Whereas, according to Islam, our Islam is not Indian Islam. Our Islam is Quran Sharif and Hadith Islam. And that makes a woman a queen in the house. That we should treat her as a queen in the house. The wife should treat the husband as a king. But very sadly, the wives don't hear that they have to treat the husband as a king. That they didn't hear. All they heard, we must be treated as queens. And the husbands didn't hear. They are deaf to it, that we must treat our wives as queens. All they heard, didn't you hear Maulana say, that you must treat me, I'm the husband, you must treat me like a king. But they didn't hear that you must treat the wife as a queen. Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali should say, today we all read the Quran Sharif with our own different glasses. If you got green lenses, everything is green. Blue is blue. So we read it with the lenses of our rights. A rich man, he tells the poor man when he comes to beg, that didn't you read in the Quran you mustn't beg? That it's not jais to beg. And the poor man, he don't read those ayats that you mustn't go and beg. He read the ayat, وَأَمَّ السَّائِلْ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ, that when a beggar comes, don't turn him away. Don't reject him. So he said, didn't you read? You're a rich man. The Quran says, don't reject the poor, the beggar. So when the beggar comes, you must give him. Didn't you read the hadith that if a beggar comes on a horse, well-dressed, horse in our time will mean a BMW, Mercedes-Benz, and is well-dressed, don't also doubt him. He came to you, he says he's in need, give him. He'll tell the rich man that. And the rich man will tell him what refer. We don't read the Quran what refers to us. What refers to the, we are cockeyed. Our one eye is closed. And unfortunately the wrong eye is closed. Where what we are to see, what refers to us, that we are not seeing. What refers to the other party. So wife knows their rights all. Whereas they had to know the rights of the husband. Husband know all the husband's rights. And they don't know the rights of the wives. So this is very, very important. The Quran Sharif says, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Women also have got rights, just as men also have got rights. And Allah mentioned the women's rights first, because they are weaker. And in many cases, after a few years, their parents have passed away. Their brothers, sisters are all in their world. Who must they turn to? They've got no one but to turn to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah took their part and said their rights first. That their rights come. Man is more stronger. He uses his hands, legs, and he hits, etc. He demands his rights. But the woman's rights are more important. Allah has mentioned them first. And these rights are bil ma'aruf. According to society, what is known, what the rights are. Or according to Sharia, Quran and Hadith, what the rights are. In another ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and look after them بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, in a proper good way. And in there, فِيهِ تَعْلِيمُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى النِّسَاءِ. There is a teaching of kindness to women, not a teaching of zulam. Most of us, Allah make us maaf, most of us we make zulam on our wives. And there isn't a teaching of adl, justice also. She tells you like this, you must tell two, meh, meh. Whatever she tells you, you tell her. A husband and wife who are having an argument, going for a drive, then they were quiet, not speaking to one another. They passed by a animal farm, where there were dogs, cats, donkeys, goats, all the mules, all types of animals. So to break the silence, the husband told the wife, that's all your family, isn't it? So she was also one up. She said, yes, it is my family, it's my in-laws. So don't try and make meh meh two with the woman. They will always beat you with one more. So don't treat them with zulam. Don't treat them with justice. Allah says, what kindness, what does it mean? Somebody tells you a bad word, you say good word in return. This is Allah's command. And Allah has made sifarish. It's not a bayan of mine or anyone. It's Allah's command. This is how we're supposed to live in our homes. فِيهِ تَعْلِيمُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى النِّسَاءِ وَالرِّفْقَ بِهِنَّ, and softness with them. We say they are the weaker sex, but then we take so much work from them and we make so much zulam. When they are on a weaker person, your retarded child, you show my... All the other children go and sit in the car, but the retarded child, you pick up and you go and put him in the car. because he's weaker. So the woman is weaker. So consider mentally she's weaker. Physically she's weaker. So treat her accordingly also. وَالصَّبْرْ عَلَىٰ أَعْوَاجِهِمْ And make sabr on their crookedness, which proves that they have got crooked. If a woman is not crooked, there's something wrong with her. She has to be crooked, but you make sabr on, what does it mean? Tolerate it. What does sabr mean? And don't take out her faults. She's got faults. The Quran has accepted that she has got faults. And the Quran has taught you, you make sabr on those faults. A person who will do this, wallah, I guarantee you, you will get Jannah's life in this dunya. And a person who makes the effort to get the love of Allah and ma'rifat of Allah, you will get, your wife will appear the most beautiful woman in your eyes. You will be so happy in your marriage. Otherwise, generally, if not 100%, then it's 99%. A man's heart is not in his wife. In all the filthy, dirty, naked woman of the street is thinking all the time. And his wife is like a shabby, and the S word, she's a useless thing. She hasn't got, but wallah, get Allah's muhabbat. And then your wife will be the most beautiful. And Allah will bless you with that love. You can, how many women phone, complain that we are so wealthy. Husband is so wealthy. I'm not short of anything. Whatever I can think I've got, what I haven't got his trust. I don't trust him. He's got an affair with another woman. I feel like leaving. I'll go and stay in the maid's room. It's better for me. And a person, if it's a person who's living in a shanty, but husband and wife have got love, they're in Jannat in this world. That outward little shanty, we are bluffed with outside things. And the Jews in their protocols have written it very clearly. And Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has explained it also. At the same time, Allah put it in his heart. What was it? That one of the samane rahat aur cheez hai, rahat aur cheez hai. The things of comfort are something else, and comfort itself is something else. To understand this very shortly in a broad example, you can go and buy the best postupedic mattress, the best mattress in the, you got 10,000 rand, 15,000 rand in your pockets, you can go and buy the best mattress, but sleep you can't buy anywhere. Sleep is not in a chemist, it's not in sleeping tablets, it's not in an injection. All these things also very quickly fade, and you need a higher till you land up in a mad hospital. You commit suicide. Sleep is in the hands of Allah. And the sleep, it seems almost exclusively Allah has kept it for the poor people. And the more richer you get, the more your sleep goes. And sleepless nights people are having. They don't know, their heads are not working all the time. Tablets after tablets all the time. A person who gets a good sleep, ask that person what the ni'mat of sleep is. So they bluffed us, they get the things of comfort. Beautiful house we worried about. Must have a swimming pool, you must have a jacuzzi, sauna, tennis court, you must have this, you must have that. All these things, flashy motor cars, 2-3 motor cars, holidays. Now we are hearing people are going 2 times a month for holiday. Blowing up, what amounts of money, 5 million rand in 8 months, blown up, gone. Is this our life? So this all outward things, and then at the end, that person is a psychiatric case. After all those things, what is his condition? But if a person who goes not for samane rahat, but rahat itself, comfort, may Allah give us the understanding and make our lives. And you don't have to go and make a new nikah to put things right. The same nikah you got, just adjust it and put things right. And wallah, from now, Allah will make your life a life of Jannah. You could have made the biggest mistakes in your life. But just put things right and see what barakat Allah Ta'ala. And not only that, take out all the superstition, bring deen. Today what we, many of us, that deen also and all the efforts of deen, we have just made it a camouflage. And it is just to massage our nafs, make us happy. I go in Jamaat regularly, I go Khanqa regularly, I'm an alim. These titles are deceiving us also. I'm a Hafiz, I'm a Haji, I go for Umrah every year. But we're not changing our lives. We have to change our lives, our namaz, basic things, namaz must come in order. Namaz with Jamaat must come in order. Basic things are not in our lives, but we are big muballighs and big Sufis and big Maulvis, but the basic things are not right. We bring these things right, and for yourself, To what extent? Not for 2 days. Another habit we got, 2 days I do something. Oh, I'm very paben with my tahajjud. Right? Oh, I'm reading tahajjud for years now. Eh? Just 2 days, how we bluff ourselves. We forget so easily. The basic things of deen, be sincere to ourselves. Maut is coming to us. We're going to face maut. And that is the real life of Akhirat. We bring the changes, and wallah, you'll see, Islam guaranteed is a life of peace, of izzat, of honor in this world here. Say Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, I know the son of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He lived a very, what we will call a lavish life, a very comfortable life. A Jew told him, your grandfather, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Dunya sijnul mu'min. Dunya is a prison for a believer. Wa jannatul kafir. And is a place of enjoyment. Jannat for the kafir. You're a mu'min and you're living in enjoyment. He said, this is in comparison to what in Jannat. Compared to Jannat, I'm in a prison in all this lavish life that I've got. This enjoyment compared to what I'm going to get in Jannat, yeah, I'm in a prison at the moment. Wallah, Allah will give you this. Those who are, all of us, we are of the Deobandi school of thought. Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Ali's dua, and he said that a person, alim, who graduates from Deoband will never have difficulty in his rozi, in his sustenance. Allah will give him enough all the time. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali said, those who are in my silsila, they will never have problems with their finances, and also their iman on, maut on iman, Allah will bless them with maut on iman. So we are those people. So bring this Islam into our lives. Bring this deen into our lives. Why are we bluffing ourselves? What name we want to make? Eh? And what we are being fooled with generally? 3 sunnats. Topi, beard, kurta. So I'm in sunnat. In other words, I'm very pious. Those people, they're not in sunnat. They are still very far from deen. Our bismillah before eating doesn't take place. Our dua before sleeping. How many of us don't even know the dua when we wear clothes? After drinking water, there is a dua. How many of us don't even know that dua? How many sunnats treating our wives well? The wives treating the husbands well? All these things are not in our lives. Our namaz is just more a ritual. Hey, we haven't made our namaz still. And the hadith, it comes, very blessed is that person, ذو حَضْرَةٍ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ, who's got a good share of namaz. That is, his namaz is regular, concentration. Wallah, namaz is what? Qurratul Ayn, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If namaz, your connection with Allah, what more can you get? If you get, you want to phone somewhere and it's engaged all the time, you're becoming frustrated. It's not ringing, it's ringing. Nobody's picking up. You get so frustrated when you get through and your work gets done. With our namaz, we are engaged all the time. Hey, and we're not even getting that frustration. We just, it's all right now. I didn't get through. It doesn't matter also. Get through to Allah in your namaz. Make contact with Allah. There is no greater contact in the world. The biggest contact is the contact of Allah Ta'ala. But this is, it requires effort. Not just going to fall from the air. And we're not prepared. We make so much effort for our dunya. How lot sacrifices, what risks we don't take. Yeah, we want to give a donation, 100 rand. We make 10 phone calls. That, can I give this person 100 rand? Hey, and zakat, which in any case I have to give. Hey, we don't want to risk anything. But for our deen, we're not prepared to make any, not make any sacrifices. So may Allah Ta'ala give us this understanding, prepare for that eternal life of Akhirat, inshaAllah. After that we'll have, as well, people want to become bad, come in front, inshaAllah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه والصلاة والسلام على رسوله محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. It is indeed a very, very great privilege and an opportunity for me to be in this very blessed and sacred gathering. It's the first time I've been to South Africa and also the first time to be in such a very blessed and auspicious gathering. And I ask Allah to bless our dear respected Hazrat. who, by Allah, I swear, he has been very kind and compassionate and loving to us. Alhamdulillah, we had a limited acquaintance in Trinidad. First time I met him, but Alhamdulillah, the love he has shown me, the kindness, the compassion, the accommodation he has given, is like if he has known us the entire life. May Allah bless him. And then he has given me this opportunity to say a few words, but after hearing such golden words and advice, what really can we say? We are not deserving to say, na hum uske ahal hai, that I say bare hazrat ke samne kuch alfaz kahun. But he has asked us and me to say a few words, so I will just continue and add to what Hazrat has already said. And the point that our Hazrat was making, my dear respected brothers and elders, is indeed a very, very important point. For certainly with our own eyes, we have seen that superstitions have become a disease in the Ummah. A disease in the Ummah. It is everywhere. Allah hawla wa la quwwata inna lillah. The extent to which Muslims believe these things and do them, it actually takes them out of the pale of Islam. It takes them into shirk and kufr. And with all of that, they still believe that, mashallah, la haraja fi, there is no harm in doing this. In our own community, it is rampant in many ways. Even within the family circle. And you know, for those of you, including ourselves, when you have people who are close in the family circle, to get them to stop it is very difficult. They become your enemies. They think that you are against what they are doing. They want to stop speaking to you. You know, when my first child was born, my mother wanted to put a black tick on the forehead. That's the custom, a superstition, that this saves and protects the child from malju, as we say, but nazar. Then there is a bead that is placed in the hand, a black and gold bead that is made by the jeweler. That also goes on to stop the child from getting bad nazar. Then there is a very, very, something that has a very bad stench that is placed on the child. It's locally called in our language hing, but it, you know, the name is asifasita. The smell is very, very bad. So it's placed on the child vest because it protects the child from evils. Now, you know, a small child you have, you like to cuddle and kiss up your child, but this thing is smelling so bad, sometimes you have to keep a little away from the child also because it's a smelling. And with all of that, their belief, the old people believe that if you cut the hair of the child, you know, within 1 year, the child will not speak. Now, they wouldn't do the aqiqah. They would not do those things that we have to do as Muslims. But all the emphasis is placed on these things that they have learned from their elders. Even the bath, when they give the child, the first time they will give a bath to the child is on the seventh day. And they will put the child in the bathtub and push the bathtub, you know, a small like basin throughout. And all these things have such, you know, carry such beliefs with them. They believe that it's like that and they do it. And so many other things that are existing among the people. You know, sometimes people, I have heard, even from our parents, if the right eye starts to blink a lot, something is going to happen. If the left eye begins to blink, that's a different thing. A different thing is going to happen. You know, and so many things. Along with that, la hawla wa la quwwata, along with that, with respect to seeking help from other than Allah is very dominant and rampant in the communities, in our community. The people have taken to it with inna lillah, with such yaqeen that the yaqeen, that level of yaqeen is not even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe that this can happen so much so that if a person is going to build a business on a plot, he goes to a person who will tell him which plot to build it on, which day to open it on. Every single thing. And this thing has gone to the extent that even they have started to meddle with death itself. When my mother passed away, she got heart problem and she passed away in the hospital. Alhamdulillah, we were able to arrive there. She died in our hands. You know, There was a person who was there who was close to her and close to us also, family member, and he said, you know, mom was supposed to die about an hour ago, but I spoke to the angel of death and he delayed her death. Wallah, this is exactly what he said. This is exactly. And he said it with firm belief and yakin on what he was saying. Not a joke. I said, hawla wa la quwwata. How can that? Oh, you are mad or something. How can that ever happen? What are you saying? You spoke to the angel of death? Who dared? The person, the first person, the only person who may be able to see the angel of death is the one who is dying. And if you see the angel of death, you can't live afterwards. It's exactly. So even that same person, on another occasion, he was given a little karuzari about another person. He said there was this old woman who was in the hospital. She was ailing and everybody was crying and weeping, and the family members, you know, they were all about trying to see what they can do. So he said to them, your mother wouldn't live. She will die on the 15th night of Sha'ban, this last Sha'ban that went. Right, so it's a quarantine. And these people, inna lillah, believed so much that they made all preparations for the death to take place on the what? 15th night of Sha'ban. The hearse, the grave diggers, the cloth to bury with. And they have started to circulate the news now to everybody that expect so-and-so to die on that night. 15th night of Sha'ban passed and nothing happened. When it passed by, so the people, family members, asked him, he says, what went wrong? He said, I will consult. So he consulted with whoever is seemed to be his superior. And he says, no, give them a time. Before so-and-so date, she will go. So then she lived on, and then some other time she passed away, and he says to them, you see, I told you, just a few days after. But la hawla wa la quwwata. We can see the extent of the people's belief in these things. May Allah save us. You know, this thing is so dominant and rampant, as I said. It is taking, you know, from one stage to another stage. And these things are sometimes shaykh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever goes to a soothsayer or a fortune teller, he has committed shirk. Why would a person go to a soothsayer to ask him about some future event, or a fortune teller? Even, I do not know if you have the horoscope system here, even to read it also, it's not permissible. Because it tells you what will happen to you today if you belong to this planet. You know, what you can do, what you can look forward for. And all these things, people go, even Muslims go to, you know, even the ulama, family of the ulama, and ulama themselves go to those who can read the crystal ball and read the cards, you know, and put in the key in the Bible and so many things. This is rampant among the Muslims in our community. So therefore, there is something, probably it is existent all over the place, but it's very, very dangerous. And sometimes this is why there is a beautiful chapter which Imam Bukhari has mentioned. In Bukhari Awwal, he says, this is the chapter that a Muslim, a believer, must always be fearful that his a'mal is destroyed and he does not even know that. He must be alert, aware, alert, conscious at all times of what he is doing, what he is getting involved in before he goes to it. Lest he does it, his amal, the essence of it is that the amal will be destroyed even if he did not do it intentionally. وَهُوَ لَا يَشْعُرُ. And he does not know. So that's a very, very important thing that Hazrat has pinpointed to all of us. We must safeguard ourselves, safeguard our family members, and, you know, to whatever possible extent we can ensure that people, you know, they stay away from those things. You know, teach them that is right. We ourselves, you know, sometimes things are said to us. Allahu Akbar. Allah says in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Once you don't know something, ask. There are many people in your midst. You are doubtful about it, ask somebody. إِنَّمَا الشِّفَاءُ الْعَيِّ فِي السَّوَالِ. The shifa and the cure for the ailing one is in asking. Subhanallah. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. So therefore we have no excuse whatsoever for getting involved in anything that is deemed to be un-Islamic, when Allah has made available to us people in the right, left, front and behind, that from whom we can ask and gain Islamic guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, protect our family members, protect our children and our entire progeny from these things. Because, na'uzu billah, who knows, a man may look to you as a Muslim, but in the sight of Allah, he might be a mushrik or kafir. And he may live his entire life, but when he goes in the grave, he is now being told by the angels, but you are not a Muslim. May Allah save us from that. May Allah cause us to live as Muslims, die as Muslims, and be resurrected as Muslims. Wa la akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.